Thank you, Blessing and Jonga. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Friday, December 12, 2015. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Sandra Nyaira. Among our top stories this evening, President Robert Mugabe admits that factionalism is getting out of hand in his ZANU-PF party, with the army, police and intelligence officers now taking sides in its internal conflicts.
Work together for the common ZANU-PF cause, the people's cause. Then we remain what? A people's party.
A number of Zimbabwean rights advocates were honored for their work last night as the country joined other nations in marking Human Rights Day. And MDCT President Morgan Tsvangirai has instructed Harare Province to investigate allegations of corruption being leveled against some of his party councillors. These stories and much more coming up. Stay tuned. President Robert Mugabe today admitted that factionalism is rearing an ugly head in his party, with the army, police and intelligence officers now taking sides in the internal politics of the ruling party. Correspondent Ivan Chifera reports.
In a keynote address to the party's 15th People's Conference, beamed live on Zimbabwe Broadcasting Corporation Television in the Victoria Falls Resort, Mr. Mugabe denounced those fanning factionalism and told them to stop it, as he was not going anywhere. In the broadcast that was monitored by Studio 7 in Harare, Mr. Mugabe further said the warring camps must unite and work together for the benefit of the party, adding that ZANU-PF would not succeed to do anything if it continued on a divided path. He said talk that people divided to Vice Presidents Emmerson Mnangagwa or Pelegezela Mpoko camps should stop, saying all people belong to the party and not to individuals.
Work together for the common ZANU-PF cause, the people's cause. Then we remain what? A people's party.
Mnangagwa is believed to be leading one camp, while Mboko is said to be in a faction that is the backing of the First Lady, Grace Mugabe. The two are also being backed by the Young Turks in the party, calling themselves the Generation 40 or G40. Mr. Mugabe bemoaned corruption among party cadres, saying they were overcharging people in various community projects. He said Chinese President Xi Jinping, who visited Zimbabwe last week, had pointed out to him that China was ready to support Zimbabwean projects but wanted to deal with straightforward people. He said those caught on the wrong side of the law would be prosecuted. Reacting to the president's speech, Harare resident Marofen Mukudu said Mr. Mugabe was frank about the state of affairs in his party and that he wants it addressed.
Most tellingly was the president's admission that the military, the army, the police and the CIO have come to him talking about this succession issue, meaning that the state itself is now fragmented around this succession issue.
Another resident, Mlondolozi Ndlovu, said Mr. Mugabe's accusations that the security sector is now interfering in ZANU-PF's affairs is an admission that factionalism has reached unprecedented levels.
Maybe the admission, to me, it's a sign that at least we have heard it from himself that indeed there is a factionalism within the party.
Some opposition political parties dismissed Mr. Mugabe's speech, saying it was uninspiring. People's Democratic Party spokesman Jacob Mafume said there was nothing to take home from Mr. Mugabe's speech, as the nation is marooned in an island of despair. He added that though a young nation, Zimbabwe was feeling as old as Mr. Mugabe. Spokesperson of the Movement for Democratic Change Formation, led by Professor Walsh Mncube, Kuraone Chiwai, said ongoings in ZANU-PF confirm that it would not survive beyond 2018.
As MDC, we are actually targeting victory in 2018, and ZANU-PF will not be there after 2018.
Mr. Mugabe said the conference was not an elective event, but was meant to take stock of the state of the party as well as developments in government. After Mr. Mugabe's speech, portfolio secretaries started presenting reports on the state of the economy and policies that the government is implementing. The conference, which started early this week, ends tomorrow. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Ivan Chifera.
Political analysts agree that the reason why there is so much tension in ZANU-PF is the failure by the ruling party to address President Mugabe's succession issue. Reporter Blessing Zulu looks at the friction within the party.
ZANU-PF has gathered more than 6,000 people at its annual conference at a cost of more than $3 million. Insiders allege that most of the money came from struggling parastatals and private companies that for years have been forced to fund the party's activities. But some analysts argue that this is a waste of money, asking the now famous question, what would Magufuli do? John Pombe Magufuli was recently elected as the president of Tanzania and is a known fiscal hawk. Magufuli, some analysts allege, would have cancelled the conference as it does not resolve internal party issues or the country's worsening economic crisis. International Crisis Group Project Director for Southern Africa, Pius Pigu, says as long as the party skirts the succession issue, friction will always continue.
Well, of course, the factional issues that the 2014 Congress were meant to try and cap and resolve have actually opened the lid on further fights that we've seen unfolding during the course of 2015. But in this rather bizarre scenario where you're not allowed to talk about things, but yet things are being spoken about. Essentially, at the heart of the factional fights is the issue of succession. Officially, as you know, ZANU-PF claimed that Mugabe is the incumbent and will be the candidate for 2018. This is not really very realistic, and so different interests are positioning themselves. The fault lines are not as straightforward and not as solid as some may think. And I think that a lot of people are trying to gauge where their best interests lie, both in terms of protecting existing interests, but also advancing them in a very difficult political and economic context. A conference to discuss the implementation of Zim Asset. But at the heart of the problem of economic reform and implementation and recovery is the instability that continues to be caused by the internal dynamics inside the ruling party.
But ZANU-PF spokesman Simon Kayamoyo says the ruling party is addressing the economic crisis and this is top on the agenda.
Our focus is on economic recovery. Our focus is on Zim Asset, which, as you know, has got four major clusters. That is food security and nutrition, social services, poverty eradication, infrastructure and utilities, and of course, then value addition and beneficiation of our natural resources.
Mashonaland and East Bulawayo and some Matabeleland provinces have thrown spanners in ambitions by First Lady Grace Mugabe to become the vice president by declaring that Vice President Emmerson Mnangagwa must stay put and Vice President Pelegezela Mpoko, an ally of Mrs. Mugabe and the so-called G40, should pave way for a woman as being proposed by the Women's League. These war veterans are clearly backing Mnangagwa, resolved that political commissar Xavier Kasukwere be replaced by a war veteran, as they claim he lacks experience to mobilize supporters and unite them. But the so-called Generation 40 is hitting back, pushing Mrs. Mugabe to be elevated to the position of vice president and that war veterans minister Chris Muchangwa, a non-ally of Mnangagwa, be expelled from the party. The G40 group, with the majority of members in the party's influential National Disciplinary Committee, is managed to suspend or expel a number of party officials linked to Mnangagwa. Former ZANU-PF spokesman and spokesperson of the People's First Movement, Rugare Gumbo, says the party is now in tatters.
I really don't think that there is much to comment about, because the party is dead, is fractured. There is no cohesion, there is no unity, there is no ideological congruity.
But speaking from Victoria Falls, former war veterans leader Joseph Chinotimba denied the allegation that factionalism is tearing the party. Chinotimba said the party remains strong and blamed the media for creating fictional fights. But political analyst Gladys Shachwayo says the friction in the party is now affecting the country in general.
We know that the conference is not elective, and it doesn't have the mandate to elect leaders or to have leadership renewal or something like that. But we understand that the Women's League was mobilizing to have this particular conference actually make a decision to say, can we go back to the women's quota?
Another political analyst, Sydney Chisi, concurs with Hlatshwayo.
I think ZANU-PF conference is a typically well-choreographed space where people are meeting just so that there is an assumed unity, there is assumed progress that is within the party without any contradictions or without any factions. But we know that deep down, the background of what is actually happening is that people are more interested in terms of how do they get out of the doldrums of poverty, the doldrums of exclusion that is actually taking place in the broader Zimbabwean situation.
The crisis in the ruling ZANU-PF party is only deepening with Mr. Mugabe's stunning accusation that the army, police and central intelligence officials are taking sides in the squabbles. Last year, the International Crisis Group, or ICG, warned that mounting tensions in ZANU-PF over President Mugabe's succession, First Lady Grace Mugabe's entrance into mainstream politics, the dire economic crisis and related issues could see Zimbabwe sliding into a failed state. In its report titled Zimbabwe, Waiting for the Future, the ICG said Zimbabwe's politics and economy are precarious, raising the need for ZANU-PF to address President Mugabe's successor. Reporting for Studio 7, this is Blessing Zulu in Washington, D.C.
A number of human rights advocates were honored for their work last night as the country joined other nations in commemorating Human Rights Day. The 2015 Human Rights Lawyer of the Year Awards were issued by the Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights in conjunction with the Zimbabwe Human Rights NGO Forum. Winners include Brian Dube, Tanaka Mganji, Langton Munga, Tonderai Batasara, Marufu Mandewere, Kudzai Kadzere and Gift Mtisi. Mtisi tells the Studio 7's Ntungamili Nkomo he is grateful for the recognition, adding he will continue pushing for civil liberties.
I am happy for the appreciation because when I was working, I was not working for that recognition. I was just doing my job. But the public has honored me that my work was outstanding. So it's a great honor to me.
And what's your assessment of the current human rights situation in the country?
It's serious in the sense that there is gross violation of human rights. The Constitution gives a lot of rights to people, but people are failing to access those rights. It's more like rights to education, free education. But so many people are failing to go to school because they are failing to pay. There are so many rights which are contained in the Constitution, but which people are failing to enjoy.
Even after the introduction of the Human Rights Commission, nothing has changed?
The Human Rights Commission has just started. It was commissioned whilst there was already a backlog of cases which they were supposed to handle. So at the moment, they have a serious backlog such that even if they are effective, it is a little bit difficult to feel the impact as of now.
Human rights lawyer Gift Mtisi on the line from Harare. MDCT President Morgan Tsvangirai has instructed Harare province to investigate allegations of corruption being levelled against some of his party's councillors. This follows the arrest of three councillors on allegations of stealing $70,000 from the Harare Municipal Medical Aid Society and corruptly allocating residential stands to themselves. In a statement, MDCT Secretary for Local Government Eddie Cross said his party has a policy of zero tolerance to corruption and abuse of office. The statement says Mr. Tsvangirai has given a party probe team 14 days to investigate and report their findings to his office. People's Democratic Party spokesman Jacob Mafumi tells reporter Jonga Kandemiri nothing will change after the investigations.
Corruption from any party is bad. Corruption from ZANU-PF is bad. Corruption from MDCT is bad. This corruption must be condemned. The individuals that are perpetrating corruption must be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. We must not discriminate corruption. What is happening now, corruption in other parties is being attacked heavily, but corruption in ZANU-PF, it is corrupt for a ruling party to hold a celebration of nothing in the Big Four, eating elephants, giraffes, lions, and crocodiles, while the rest of the country is suffering. They are doing exactly the opposite of what the Tanzanian president, who was recently elected, is doing. And Manyenyeni's MDCT councillors looting when people are suffering.
So, Mr. Mafume, as the People's Democratic Party, what are you recommending?
Corruption must be prosecuted quickly without fail on all parties. The councillors who are stealing must be prosecuted to the full extent of the law. And come voting, people must understand that is why we are now changing the political party. We've brought in the People's Democratic Party, which has to be voted in power. We will undertake not to steal the people's money.
Jacob Mafume is the spokesperson for the People's Democratic Party. He spoke with Junga Kandemiri from Harare.
You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington.
We are broadcasting on 909 Metum Wave and on the 4930, 5940 and 15460 shortwave frequencies.
On the internet, find us at www.studio7news.com.
You can also text us at 001-202-465-0318.
Coming up this evening, we are featuring musician Busi Mhlanga, courtesy of Sithandekile Mhlanga. But first, we take a look at regional and international news. A Burundian army spokesman says 12 gunmen who attacked military bases in the capital today were killed as soldiers clashed with their attackers. Colonel Gaspard Baratuza said in a statement that 21 attackers were captured. Michel Platini has lost his appeal to lift a 90-day ban by the Global Football Association, FIFA, as he fights corruption charges. The Court of Arbitration for Sport announced its ruling today in Lausanne, Switzerland, ensuring that Platini, the president of the European Football Union, will not be able to attend Saturday's Euro 16 draw in Paris. And at least 7 civilians were killed Friday in a suicide attack in a part of Cameroon where Boko Haram militants are active. The French news agency said the attack took place at a food stall in the town of Kolofata in northern Cameroon.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Corruption is one of the world's greatest challenges. It is often an abuse of power at a local level that affects all of us on a global scale. It negatively impacts rich and poor countries alike in both the private and public sectors. Corruption destroys trust, undermines development, erodes confidence in democratic institutions, and prepares the way for transnational criminal activities. Ultimately, it is the ordinary people that suffer the consequences. Corruption distorts markets, causes higher prices, discourages investors, and stunts economic growth. It is particularly destructive to communities in developing countries, where it acts as a block to development and progress. To call attention to this scourge, 12 years ago, the United Nations designated December 9th as International Anti-Corruption Day. The day has been observed annually since 2003, coinciding with the adoption of the United Nations Convention Against Corruption by the UN General Assembly. Crucially, the UN Convention recognizes that corruption is a crime that transcends communities and national borders. It fuels criminal activities at home and across the globe. A comprehensive approach is needed, one involving cooperation among governments, civil society, and the private sector. Ending corruption depends on transparency in government and the rule of law, and ensuring that citizens everywhere, as individuals, journalists, and members of civil society, are able to expose corrupt practices and press for the prosecution of perpetrators. The United States stands ready to work with other nations to bring corrupt individuals to justice, whether through technical assistance and training or working cooperatively to find evidence or stolen assets held abroad. Working together, we can ensure the integrity of our markets, improve our government institutions, and increase opportunity and prosperity for all our citizens.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The Premier Soccer League has beefed up security for the final of the EasyCo Cup, pitting neighbours Highlanders and Chicken Inn. The final is set for Baba Fields Stadium on Sunday, as reporter Michael Kariati reports.
This follows ugly scenes which rocked the semi-finals of the tournament, in which Capes United supporters rained missiles onto the pitch during the course of their team 3-0 loss at the hands of Chicken Inn. The events were not well received by the sponsors of the competition, with Net One Managing Director Riot Kangai telling the Premier Soccer League that they were not happy at all.
As sponsors, we find it totally unacceptable that we enter a partnership in which our good image ends up being tarnished.
As a result, Premier Soccer League marketing manager Rodro Tabe says they are not taking any chances in the final and have assured tight security check for all the fans wishing to attend the proceedings.
Our police will be high alert to search, thorough searches, and just eliminate any potential missiles.
Boso are hoping to end the year's football program on a happy note after struggling throughout the season that saw them end in an unfamiliar 6th position on the table. Boso vice chairman Mthuli Mpofu says the EasyCo Cup final presents them with the chance to prove themselves as well as beef up their financial coffers before the festive period.
Not only does it enhance our chances to redeem ourselves as Highlanders, it also gives us a chance to make sure that our coffers are beefed up before Christmas.
When the two teams met in league matches, Chicken Inn emerged victorious, but Highlanders have changed since Aminu Soma Piri took over as coach of the side. However, Dynamo supporter Musa Mtambanengwe, a neutral follower of the Easy Cup final proceedings, thinks Chicken Inn will end the season in a celebratory mood.
Chicken Inn have been very consistent, they've been playing very good football, and I can see they are ready to go.
The Gamecocks have been on a roll and will also be fielding three Castle Soccer Star of the Year finalists, including Zimbabwe's Soccer Star of the Year, Danny Piri. Highlanders, on the other hand, will be missing the services of Eric Mudzingwa and Obadiah Tarumbwa, who are suspended for the game. The EasyCo Cup final will mark the official ending of the 2015 Premier Soccer League football program. The winners of the tournament will take home $80,000, while there will also be a $50,000 reward for the losing finalists. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Michael Kariati.
Thank you, Michael. Now we go to entertainment with Sandekile Mhlanga, in which reports a Zimbabwean-born musician Busi Mhlanga is causing waves in the United Kingdom with a mixture of traditional and gospel music, which he performs at weddings and churches, festivals and various social gatherings. Busi, who hails from Gwelutshena in Nkayi, says she also teaches traditional Ndebele and Zulu dances such as Gumboot dance, Intlamu and Isikichicha to the African and British audiences. She tells Studio 7's Sandekile Mhlanga more about her music.
I sing mainly traditional, my Zulu Ndebele traditional songs, and as well, because my mother comes from a country called Botswana, and I sometimes sing Tswana songs as well, though sometimes I sing in English.
Which ones can you say are your most popular songs?
Like, for example, in a wedding, I like singing Londolozela, Londolozela, Londolozelu mama. You know, this is a one of the Ndebele Zulu traditional songs, a very popular song. This song, it's like, it's talking to you, especially the groom side. that when you know this is you should look after this this bride we as whom we are giving to you. Look after her, don't beat her, treat her well, cherish her.
So do you actually mix the traditional flavor too in your gospel songs?
I call them my traditional gospel songs because it's the song that I sing dressed in my traditional attire, mainly in my language, though sometimes I sing in English. Sometimes I sing the traditional Zion songs like you know, it's a song that will go with drumming and dancing. Sometimes some social gatherings I sing songs like Mire Makeba's songs, you know, those kind of click songs. Sometimes I mix with the Ischigicha song, you know. Our ancestors, when they created all these songs, they created songs according to their surroundings. They would sing about anything. They could sing about birds, what they see around them. They would sing about the river. They would sing about the trees. They would sing about themselves, like, for example, this song, Nyaoluam Jalisu Nyaoluam. So whatever is happening, I sing about it. For example, since there was xenophobia, and then a song just came up to me, and I was singing about it. What is xenophobia? Why are you killing one another? Land of my birth, why are you doing this to one another? We are brothers and sisters. We should love one another. We should, you know, respect one another and look after, look out for one another. We are all Africans. We are brothers and sisters. So if we kill one another, it's not good. That was xenophobia song. And then there's the song that is in my that has got a video right now. It's the wedding song, the Shamelana Mabala, like sweep the ground because the bride is about to come.
Are there any other notable events or gatherings you have performed in?
You know, during Mandela funeral as well, it happened that I was one of those. That was the first one to come at the Trafalgar Square in London because I was coming from a performance somewhere. And then it happened that I was passing by the South Africa House at that time. So I started singing, and most of the time I appeared on news during that time because I was singing, Tula Sibu, you know, like telling people that, oh, let's not cry because God is with us. Performed even in the House of Commons as well on BBC, on national television here. And during the rugby as well, the rugby tournament, I was performing as well.
That was a Zimbabwean musician, Busi Mhlanga, on the line from the United Kingdom. Tune in tomorrow for more on this musician. Don't miss it here on Studio 7. Before I go, we have a letter, a very important letter that I, you know, need to read to you in our mailbag. There's one from a listener who says a lost and found passport, a passport has been found along Binga Road for Prudence Chaira. Please let her contact us as soon as possible, or we will leave the found belongings at Siachilaba Police Station. So please contact this number, 263-735-204-583. That's all we had for you tonight. But before I go, a quick reminder of our top stories. President Mugabe says the army, police and intelligence officers are now taking sides in the ZANU-PF internal conflicts. That's all I heard tonight. My name is Sandra Nyaira and I'm leaving you in the capable hands of Mtungamili Nkomo. Good night, Zimbabwe. Wishing you a blessed weekend.